Peace. What a word, eh? Can you do something with me right now? Take a deep breath. Close your eyes. And let's just meditate on that word, peace. What would it look like if there was world peace? What would it look like if you had peace in your family, in your friendships? What if you had inner peace? You can open your eyes again. Peace is something that we definitely need during these troubling times. We're doing a series right now, and we're so glad you're able to join us on Good News for Troubling Times, Rediscovering Christmas. And last week we talked about rediscovering hope, the hope of Jesus. And today we're looking at rediscovering peace, the peace of Jesus, through a very familiar story in Scripture of the angels first hearing the good news of Jesus. And as we look into this story, we will see that the shepherds, they needed peace too, just as much as we do. And peace came to them through Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me, or you can check out our sermon notes, the scriptures there too, and also the words will be on the screen. But we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, all the way down to 21. Hear the word of the Lord. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I will bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise a child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Glory to God in the highest heaven. We praise you, Lord God. You, in your infinite love and mercy, sent your own Son, Jesus. Not in a palace, not in a very inaccessible place, but in a regular country town, in a manger. And thank you, Jesus, that you are now here with us. You came to us so fragile, but now you are mighty. You came to us small, but now you are great. And you are with us during troubled times. Today, Lord, we need your peace so much. We need it, Lord. We need you, our peace. Please guide my small words for your great glory, Lord, today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Peace. We see that wonderful word in verse 14, on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Now, this was written in the Greek language, and the Greek word for peace is eirene. And actually the English word serene comes from that word eirene. And in the Greek and Roman context, typically this word would be used more to talk about political peace. No wars, no political drama. Sounds nice, doesn't it? And this word peace was very important for the what sort of Roman Empire was ruling at the time. They had something called the Pax Romana, or the Roman Peace, and this was the golden age of the Roman Empire, where there was great prosperity and overall peace. However, this peace came at a high price. Anyone and anything which was against this peace would be... The cost of peace is blood. The Jewish idea of peace was a little bit different. The Hebrew word shalom, you might have heard that word, is translated peace, but is better translated flourishing, wholeness in all dimensions of life. And actually, eirene, the Greek word for peace, literally means to join or bind together that which has been separated. And this definition is very, very similar to actually the Hebrew word shalom. Here is one model of what peace and shalom is. Life consists in this web of relationships. The circle you'll see in the graphic kind of looks at the social, political world we live in, and that's kind of the peace that the Greeks kind of focused on. Societal peace, structural peace, no wars. And then on the one side is we have relationship to the earth, to the land. And we could talk a lot about this, but basically, I'll summarize it as one's and a community's ability to join in and partake in the bounty of God's creation. Having enough food, water, clothing, materials for shelter, and also being able to enjoy and connect to the beauty of God's creation. And then we have our relationship with others. That's our family, our friends, those who are like us. How full and vibrant are those relationships? But also, it also connects to those who are different than us. People with different cultures, ethnicities, different ways of thinking. And then on the other end is our relationship with ourselves. Do we have a healthy self-love, a healthy self-understanding? Do we struggle, maybe, how do we deal with our emotions, our mental health, our addictions? How full is our relationship with ourselves? And of course, the final one is our relationship with God. Do we feel close and connected to God? Do we know that He loves us so much? That He cares for us every single moment of the day. That not a hair falls without our Heavenly Father knowing. And unfortunately, when the first humans rebelled against God, sinned against God, this relationship between us humans and our Heavenly Father, Lord God, was broken. We were separated of God because of our sin. And as a result, all the other relationships became broken. The Bible says when the first humans sinned, the land kind of rebelled too. There was thorns and thistles. It was hard work. Also, relationship between males and the females, there was a lot of tension and brokenness. And also with everybody else in the earth. And also, relationship with ourselves was broken. We didn't know who we were anymore. We were naked and ashamed. And also, we created systems of oppression and injustice and violence. Now, peace, shalom, in the context of these relationships, is the restoration and healing of all these relationships. To bind together what has been separated so we can live full and flourishing lives. Now, if we look at the shepherd's life, according to this model of relationships, they lacked shalom. They lacked peace. There's a lot of brokenness there. If you look in those days, the shepherds were kind of the outcasts of society. They were looked down upon. They had a brokenness in their relationship to others. They had this reputation of being liars and thieves, and because of that, they couldn't give a testimony in court. That speaks to the kind of socioeconomic side of things. They weren't able to participate equally in the economic and political system. They must have had a good relationship to the land, but they had to work hard. They were working night shift at a time. They had to be there with the sheep 24/7, and I'm not exactly sure if they would have made enough money to put food on the table and to pay for their bills. In terms of their relationship to God, it's a little more complicated. They were a very important part of the religious system at the time. In the religious Jewish system, shepherds were important because they provided the lambs that were needed to sacrifice to God in those days, Old Testament, Israelites, as a symbol of God's forgiveness and the covenant with them, they would sacrifice animals as a way to cleanse, a symbol of their cleansing of their sins. And though they had a very important part, the shepherds, because of their line of work, there are many laws which prevented them from fully worshiping God. In the Old Testament and during this time, the temple was the place where you were able to worship God fully. However, there were very strict laws which you had to follow in order to get into the temple. If you broke these laws, you'd be called unceremonially unclean. And unfortunately, as a shepherd, it was very hard to keep all those laws. Even stepping on a bug, maybe they had to fight off a wolf and the wolf died, or maybe one of their sheep died. Touching a dead animal made them unclean and they wouldn't be able to go to worship God in the temple. Can you imagine today you're driving to church and you hit a coyote? Oh, I can't go to church anymore. Oh, you're outside the church stepping on a bug. Oh, I can't go to church anymore. Hitting a mosquito. Oh, I'm sorry, mosquito. It's even worse than, maybe even today, forgetting to pre-register for a live service. Or breaking your mask just as you enter the building. Has that happened to you yet? I hope not. I really hope not. And in the same way, though the shepherds were very, a lot of them probably devout followers of God, because they couldn't go into the temple as often as everybody else, people kind of suspected that they were cursed and abandoned by God. And I wonder then how the shepherds would feel about themselves. Being isolated from others, getting dirty looks all the time would take its toll. And did they too believe that God had cursed and forsaken them? That God would not give them peace, shalom, because of who they were? Now looking back at this model, how are your relationships? How's your relationship with others? With yourself? With God? Do you feel like you're flourishing, life is good, or do you feel like, oh, I need a lot of peace? Do you maybe feel that you are abandoned by God? Maybe even cursed by God? I encourage you, whatever you're feeling now, be honest with God. He knows it already, but he's listening, and he loves you. Here is some good news in our troubling times. This is a theme and goal. You write this on your notes. Jesus not only gives us peace, he is our peace. And we see this in the story of the shepherds. Out of all the people God could have chosen to tell the good news about his Messiah, Jesus our Lord, he chose humble shepherds. Despite all the rumors and lies that God had forsaken him, God did not. And this is proven in the fact that God gives them good news, in fact, the best news of all. Can you imagine the shepherds, they're waking up from their, maybe they're tired from night shift, all of a sudden they look up, see this bright light, their eyes are burning, and they see the presence of and the glory of God and his angels. They are completely terrified. And they maybe expect that the angel came to judge them, to give them what they are due, give them some really, really bad news. But instead, the voice encouragingly says in verse 10, 12, do not be afraid. I will bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Another way to translate, the Savior has been born for you. The Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you, a sign specifically for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And not only do they get to hear some good news, they actually get to go and meet the good news. Meet Jesus in person. Jesus wasn't in a palace that the shepherds couldn't get to. It wasn't even in the temple. He was in a small country town in a manger. A manger that their own sheep probably have used. And this Jesus was specifically for the shepherds. God had favored them. Another way to put it, showed them grace. Showed them love to the shepherds. And Jesus gives the shepherd's peace. Verse 14 says, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, Irene, shalom, on whom his favor rests. And this peace, this favor that's going to go to all the earth, starts with the shepherds. Jesus begins to restore all their broken relationships. First, Jesus restores their relationship to God. He, Jesus, the sign, proves that God did not forsake the shepherds. God did not abandon the shepherds. God loved and cherished the shepherds. Jesus also restores the relationship in themselves. They were the first to experience the great joy of God. After they hear the good news, they're not just stricken in fear, like, what do we do now? Scripture says that they hurried off. They said, let's go. We got to find this. There's this building of confidence. And they just go for it. And after they see Jesus, that confidence increases. They start telling everybody they meet about this good news. And also, as they tell others, Jesus restores their relationship with others. Instead of people looking down upon them, saying, you know, get away, shoo, shoo. People, scripture says in verse 18, all heard it, were amazed at what the shepherds said. They listened to the shepherds and could not deny their contagious joy. And I think verse 20 summarizes as a picture of what a flourishing life of peace and shalom looks like. After the shepherds were telling this good news, verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. They were overflowing with fullness and flourishing for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is a picture of shalom irene. All that was broken in the shepherd's life was bound back together. Jesus gives the shepherds peace, and he also gives us peace. During his ministry, Jesus, if you look at his life, restores and heals broken relationships. He heals broken relationships between others. He heals the brokenness people feel in themselves, with creation, and also ultimately with God. He proclaims what the Bible calls the kingdom of God, a kingdom which is characterized and ruled by shalom, which brings shalom to all creation. Isaiah 9:6 kind of prophesies what the Messiah will be like, who Jesus will be like. And these are some titles he gives him. Verse 6, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. The Prince of Shalom, the one who brings shalom. And even today, because Jesus rose from the dead, the Spirit of Christ is healing our broken relationships as he did with the shepherds. He is healing our relationship with others, within ourselves, with the land, and with God. He is giving us inner peace. He is bringing world peace. And I hope by God's grace you experience some of this even here today, even now, even in the midst of troubling times. But as we know, this peace, shalom, is not fully here yet. I'm guessing that the things didn't just get all of a sudden all better for the shepherds. They were still outcasts. They were still unclean often and couldn't go worship in the temple freely. I'm sure, like us, they still struggle with doubt, fear, and they maybe, you know, the doubt that they were not accepted by God. And even Jesus our Lord, the Prince of Peace, did not experience the fullness of shalom on earth. In fact, he experienced great and utter brokenness. The Empire of Rome and the religious system of Israel did not like the peace, the kind of peace that Jesus offered. They saw him actually as a threat to peace. And as we mentioned earlier, the cost of peace is blood. And they, in order to keep the Pax Romana, crucified Jesus on the cross. The paradox, however, the unexpected good news out of that was that the peace that God wanted to bring through his son, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, also cost blood. It cost Jesus blood. Because we were separated from God due to our sin, due to our constant rebellion against God, there needs to be a payment. There needs to be a way to reconcile us back to God. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, said, I will take on their brokenness. I will take on their sin. And because Jesus took on our sin and spilt his blood on the cross, he paid for our debt, washed away our sin clean. So now we are reconciled back to God. We are now healed and saved through Jesus and his sacrifice. And you can write that in your notes. Just like brokenness between us and God breaks all the other relationships, healing, another word for a salvation, healing the relationship between God and us through Jesus heals all the other relationships. And even today, Jesus is here, the resurrected Christ is here, healing all the brokenness in our lives. Jesus came to earth in an unexpected way in a manger, and now he brings peace, shalom, in another unexpected way through brokenness, through the cross. And today, he wants to give us his peace. I love this quote from Jesus in John 14, verse 27. He says here, "Peace I leave you." He's telling his disciples and telling us, "My peace I give to you." Jesus wants to give you peace. "I do not give as the world gives. I don't give like the Roman Empire. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Jesus wants to give you his peace, so you're not afraid, so you can live a full life. And while this world system brings peace by shedding blood, by doing other crazy stuff, Jesus brings peace by sacrificing his own blood. He brings peace and shalom by embracing broken relationships. He was betrayed by the ones closest to him. He was seemingly forsaken by God. Because Jesus experienced separation, God now gives us his shalom. And God's kingdom shalom is here, but it is not fully here yet. And the Bible says that we, the church, are called what's called the first fruits. We are a foretaste. We are an appetizer of what is to come. When the kingdom fully comes and Jesus reigns again as the king of the universe, there will be no more tears, no more suffering or pain, injustice or inequity. We will experience shalom, Irene, peace and flourishing in ways that we cannot even imagine today. But it's not here yet. And until then, the church, we are called to be witnesses and agents of God's shalom in Jesus. Like the manger was a sign to the shepherds, God has made the church a sign to the world. When the world sees the church, they see what is to come, the shalom that God promises. And the Spirit of Christ has created his church to be a place where people like the shepherds of Jesus' day are accepted, loved, and cherished. We are called to be a place of hope because Jesus is healing our broken relationships even now. But also we are witnesses and agents of his peace when we suffer and when we experience great brokenness. Like the shepherds, things when you become a follower of Jesus don't just get all nice and pretty and our life is perfect. No. Becoming a follower of Jesus doesn't mean that we will experience fullness and shalom. All our brokenness doesn't just disappear. Now, it will only disappear when the kingdom comes. The good news is that during troubled times of utter brokenness and fear, Jesus himself is with us and he is our peace. Jesus not only gives us peace, he is our peace. Micah 5 puts it like this, another kind of prophecy describing the Messiah, who the Messiah will be, in chapter 5, verse 4 and 5a, and it describes the Messiah as a shepherd. He says here, "He will stand and shepherd his flock. In the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace." What good news. Jesus, yes, he does give up peace. He gives us, and he is healing our relationships, but even more so, Jesus himself is our peace, and he is with us. He is with us in our brokenness. When all we know is brokenness, when we have no peace in sight, Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, he knows exactly what you're going through. He's experienced a broken family, brokenness in himself, doubt and fear of even God. And now, Jesus, the resurrected Messiah, with his nail-scarred hands, he is holding you, cherishing you, walking with you in the midst of utter suffering. And even if shalom is completely snuffed out in our life, even if all the relationships in our life are completely broken and we don't know what to do, Jesus is enough. He is our peace. He is there with you. Jesus was born, he suffered and died, and raised to life for you. Right now, he's walking with you, holding you, praying with you, weeping with you, and sustaining us with a peace that passes all understanding. Let me just end with a story. During my university years, I was going through kind of a tough time. There was brokenness in my family, a lot of brokenness in myself. I was feeling a lot of shame, a lot of anger. Maybe struggled with depression. And I was trying to ease some of this angst and being uncomfortable through addiction. And because of that, I had a really broken relationship with God. I doubted he loved me. I doubted that, how could he love someone like me? Someone so broken and messed up like me. And in this brokenness, I went to a church, and during a special service, they set up these two boards. A board where you can kind of put sticky notes on. And on one board, they had a question on the board that they wanted us to answer, which was, what lies are you believing? And the second board, what is God's truth? Usually a verse. And I knew that I was believing some lie, but I didn't know what it was. And I just sat there looking at this board, what lies am I believing? For I think about half an hour to an hour. People were putting things up, but it wasn't quite my lie. And then someone I knew from the church, he was kind of like a shepherd of our day, a beautiful man, really caring, kind, wonderful abilities, but he also had a disability. He was different. And I really appreciated him, and he came up to the board and was writing something down and put it up, and I thought, you know, maybe God will use this person. And he put a sign on the board and read this. This is the lie he wrote. There is no peace. Now, I remember vividly because he spelled peace wrong. He wrote P-E-A-S-E, but I got the picture. And in that moment, I felt like the glory of God was shining into my heart. This was my lie. And I didn't fully understand at the time, but later on I came to realize that my lie was, because of my brokenness, like I mentioned, I believe that God would never give me peace. God would never, as the scripture says, peace on earth to the on whom his favor rests. God would never favor me. God would never cherish me. He would never love me. He would never give me grace. I don't deserve it. I'm too broken. There would never be peace from God. And because of that lie, I had looking for other forms of peace. Other ways to feel the brokenness and ease the brokenness in me. But in that moment, Jesus was with me, speaking to me, declaring to me that what you're thinking is a lie. Of course there's peace. I love you. I want to give you peace. My good news was for you. And immediately what came to my mind was the truth of God. And that was in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is here with us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In that moment, Jesus himself, the one who is near to us, was my peace. He didn't heal all the brokenness that was in my life. He didn't heal my relationship with my family and all the other stuff going on. He didn't fully, per se, heal some of the stuff, my depression, but he was restoring my relationship with God. He was reminding me that yes, you are cherished, you are loved. There is peace for you. I favor you. And even though, like I said, everything else was still in brokenness, Jesus was enough. Jesus was with me, holding me, shining His peace into my heart, even in the midst of great brokenness. And the same way, Jesus is with you. This Christmas season is a reminder that Jesus, God, is with us through Jesus. He is for you, and He wants to give you His good news. Jesus, His peace in us, is a sign to the world that God is with us, God loves us, God has favor on us. And Jesus not only gives us peace, He is our peace, and He is with us. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, everlasting Father, wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, thank you so much for this vision of shalom, this vision of your kingdom where there is full restoration, full flourishing of all our relationships. And this is what you want for us. You want us to flourish. That was from the beginning. You wanted us to go and multiply and just live in your grace. But we rebelled against you, and we still turn away from you and your peace. We turn to other kinds of peace to heal our brokenness, but we know that that will never be enough. Lord, only you are enough. Your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, is the only thing that can come and heal our brokenness. And we thank you that you are healing us. You are healing things, and we praise you for the moments we actually get to see it, see this foretaste of what is to come. But Lord, we also thank you that even when the brokenness is still there, you are our peace, holding us, sustaining us, giving us what we need, guarding our hearts and minds in Jesus. So in the face of this, all we can do is be still in your presence. Be still in your great peace surrounding all creation. Trusting you, accepting your love and favor. Help us, Lord, to rest in you, to rest and trust in your peace. Thank you, Lord, Prince of Peace. We pray this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen.